We're Mitzvah Shem going to begin with Shmuel, the beginning. One reason why I like to begin with Shmuel is because it's stories that are well known, and yet there's a lot of us haven't learned it since elementary school, and there's a lot to be learned in depth. I like to hopefully discuss the concepts and the ideas, a correct understanding of the individuals, the people involved, based on Chazal, and with a stress and the way it fits into the psukim, like with the mahalach of the malbim, to notice how the words and the nuances give us a picture of the theme and the correct understanding. Okay, vayhi ish echad min haron sayim. There was one person, it was an Ishechad, a one man, Mina Ramasayim Tsofim, from the place Ramasayim Tsofim. It was a mountainous area. Ramasayim is a high place. Tsofim, where people could look out from one mountain to the other. Mehar Ephraim, from the mountain of the Har Ephraim, the mountain of Ephraim, where Shevet Ephraim lived. Ushmo, and this person was Elkanah, Ben Yerocham, Ben Eliu, Ben Tochu, Ben Tsuf. We know not only his name and the father and the grandfather, gives us five generations. Ephrosi, and the simple meaning is, Ephrosi means he was from Ephraim. Now, if he was from Ephraim, you already said he's from Mehar Ephraim. So this Ish Echad, it could have just said, Vayhi Ish Shmuel Kana from Ramasayim Tsofim. But it's Vayhi Ish Echad. This person we're going to deal with was a singular individual, one of a kind, unique. And he came from Har Ephraim, and you mentioned the whole Yichus, and then you say Ben Tochum and Tzuf Ephrosi, again from Ephraim. So some of Forshim say that he was from Ephraim, and his great-great-grandfather, Tzuf, was also an Ephrosi, was from Ephraim. Now, others learn Tsofim, another Peshad, Rashi brings actually both, and the Targum says, Tsofim means he was from those who look into the future, from the Talmidim of the Nevi'im. Meaning, if somebody wanted to become a Navi, he has to perfect himself with certain character traits, he has to learn a certain conduct, and then he can become a Navi. But you go to Navi school, you become a Talmid in Nevi'im, to hopefully, and in the end, as the Mesil Sisharim says, in the end, it's a matana. Not everybody, no matter how perfect you are, not everyone becomes a Novi. But you can do certain things that, if Nevuah would be available, you're worthy of receiving it. Anyway, so Tsofim, he was from this place where people were becoming Nevi'im. Now, Rav Pam, once I heard from my Rebbe, or Rav Pam Zatzal, a rule that in Tanakh, when it mentions not only a person's name or his father's name, it's mentioned to teach us that the ancestors had a part in his development. For example, Bezalel built the Mishkan. When the Torah talks about Bezalel, it says Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur. It mentions his grandfather. Why'd have to mention his grandfather? And Rashi says Hur was the son of Miriam. So the explanation could be, you wonder, why did out of all the Bnei Yisrael, why was Bezalel chosen? We don't know anything about him except that he's the one who built the Mishkan. Why was Bezalel chosen? So the Pasuk says Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur. His grandfather protested about making the Egel, and Hur was killed. And with a grandfather like that, it was Moiser Nefesh for the covet of Hashem. That's why his grandson became Bezalel, who built the Mishkan. So you're wondering, okay, but how did Bezalel get that strength of character to be Moiser Nefesh for Hashem? So Rashi says, Hur was the son of Miriam. His mother was Miriam, who already stood watching making sure what would happen to Moshe Rabbeinu, even though was standing there watching and making sure that he's okay. She's endangering herself, but she was Moiser Nefesh to save Klal Yisrael for Moshe Rabbeinu. So somebody like Miriam can have a son Hur, and Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur can have a grandson to build the Mishkan. Over here, it could be Tzuf found a good place to live. Suf lived among the place Tsoifim, which some people actually say, some of Forshim learned Tsoifim, the Mayam Lois brings down. Tsoifim could be was the land of Tsuf. And as he settled that part of the country. But it could be Tsuf simply made sure that his family was living Ephrosi and Ephraim and in the part where there were Talmidim of the Nevi'im, and that's why, by finding a good place to raise his family, he set the chain and process that would lead to eventually creating an Elkanah and his son Shmuel. So this Ish Echad, who is a Levi, and Divrei Yomim it mentions his Yichus, the Ish Echad was a Levi, but the Levium had cities throughout Eretz Yisrael, and besides their actual cities, they were also where they spread among the people to teach Torah. And this Ish Echad, this Levi, came from Har Ephraim. Some learn the Vav is connecting it, Vayehi, and there was, this is connected to the end of Shoftim. Over there was also a story with a Levi, who also came from Har Ephraim, and there was the whole tragedy of Pilegish Begiva, which is a separate discussion and a separate sefer. But there have been Levium from Har Ephraim who didn't turn out well. But this Ish Echad, this person from Ramasayim Tsoifim, Elkanah ben Yerocham ben Eliyahu ben Tocha ben Tzuf Ephrosi, was a special person who we're going to see produced a Shmuel. V'loy shtei noshim, he had two wives. Shem hoach, Hashem achas Chana, the name of one was Chana. It doesn't say Shem hoachas Chana, even though it says v'shem hashenis penina. It leaves out the hay by Chana. Some of Farshim say there was only one. It wasn't like the first one or Shem Achas Chana. He married one wife, Chana. But then he didn't have children. So V'Shem Hashenis Penina, he took a second wife in order that he should be Zoicha to have children. Chana gave him the suggestion, as Sarah had given to Avram Avinu, that by taking another wife, and that's her Mesiras Nefesh of putting up with a competitor. By taking another wife, she would be Zoicha to have children. So, Shem Achas Chana, he had that first wife, the one that was in his life, you know, without the hey, the just Achas, one. Chana, V'Shem Hashem is Penina. And then he had the second one, Penina. V'Hili Penina Yelodim, V'Chana Ein Yelodim. And yet, Penina had children, and Chana did not. V'Ola Yish Hahu, that person went up. Meiro from his city, miyomim yomima, yearly, every year he went up. But it could have just said va'ala ha'ish meiroi. What's the hahu? That person went up. The Malbim points out va'ala ha'ish hahu. Could be he was the only one going. That person went up lihishtachavos to bow down, which was part of their tefillah, to totally prostrate to like. To just lie down flat in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we do on Yom Kippur, Kairim. But Lishtachavos, to bow down, Blizbach, and to bring Korbonos, Lashem Tzvokos, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Shiloi, in Shiloi. And we'll see what the word Tzvokos, the first time it was used by Chana, in Chana's Tefillah, which we'll see shortly. But here the Pasuk already mentions, not that any person used it, but the Pasuk said that this tefillah, this carbon, was Lashem Tzvokos. They had in mind that they wanted to have tzvos. They wanted to have a host of children. In other words, he had in mind, tzvos is touched as hosts or as armies. The idea meaning that it's a lot of people, but an army, it's not just a multitude, a crowd. It's everyone with a very specific purpose and their goal, and they're united and they're guided and it's all controlled and organized. Everyone has their purpose. So when you want to talk about the multitude and the billions of stars and planets and constellations, it's called Tzvos because they all work in harmony. You don't find that everything's got a purpose and a set order and a path in which they travel. And likewise in the world, the nature is controlled in a harmony, with the food chains and webs, and everything is interrelated, and everything is supposed like an army that's being directed. So they want, and it's Chana's tefillas, which we'll see later on, what she wanted to have. She davened to Hashem tzivokos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that she should be zeicha, that of Hashem is tzivokos, and he controls and supervises the whole world, down to the minutest detail, she should be zeicha to have a share in that, and she should at least have a child. So here they also, the tefillah was Hashem tzivokos, b'shilo and shiloi, and you wonder, why is he the only person going up? It could be that's why the Pasuk puts in here, Visham Shnei Vnei Eli, over there were the two sons of Eli, Chofni uPinchas, who were Kohanim LaShem, they were Kohanim to Hashem. And we'll see Chofni and Pinchas, which is the discussion next paragraph, it's later. Chofni and Pinchas conducted themselves in a way that discouraged people from coming. So people stopped coming to Shiloh. We'll see exactly what, if they didn't have Avera, what the Taina was, next week. But over here, this is not the subject at all. It's just put in as one phrase. Over there was Chofni uPinchas Kohanim Hashem. We're not going to discuss them anymore till the end of the parak. But they were there. People stopped coming up to be Oyla Regel. The only one who seemed to come up to Shiloh on a regular basis was Elkanah. The truth is, it's a machloikis, it seems to be a machloikis rishonim. This is the Ramban in the end of Re'eh, mentions the idea, when he's talking about the Yom Tovim, the laning we lane on Yom Tov, at the end of Re'eh, by the Yom Tov of Shavuos, Mehochel Chermesh Bakoma. Over there the Ramban mentions that the idea of being Oyla Regel is to the Mokom Asher Yivchar Hashem, only to the Beis HaMikdash, and could be people weren't obligated at all to come to the Mishkan Shiloh. Tosfos says at the end of Chagiga, there was a discussion, was the Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash, was it a movable item or was it stationary? And the Gemara mentions it was lifted up to show all those who came to the Regel how the bread, the Lechem Aponim, was still fresh and hot that was sitting on the Shulchan. And Tosfos over there is mashma that in Shiloh, and in Noiv and Givon, that throughout history, wherever the Aron was, and they had the Shulchan, people came to be Oyla Regel. So whether they had to or not is not clear. Now, it could be there was no tain on the people for coming. But whether it's an obligation or not, they would have been inspired, they would have been able to serve Hashem better, they should have come. And Elkanah noticed that they weren't, so V'Allah HaYishahu, that person, he came up as the single individual with his family, brought his wives and his children, Penina's children, and he came up, and Chazal say how he would travel and come to the city, and people would say, what are you doing? And he's going to the Mishkan Shiloh, and the next year he would take a different route, and every year more and more people would come because he inspired them. He made a point of letting them know that he's going to the Mishkan Shiloh, and they should come along. By Hiyayom, the day came, Vayizbach Elkanah brought korbanos, and among the korbanos is the korban shlomim that people are able to eat. V'nosan lifnina ishtoi, so he gave to Penina his wife, ulchol banehu v'nosel, to her sons and his daughters, monos, he gave them all a portion. It's a question exactly, as Rashi brings down from the Targum, it was a Yom Tov by Yihayom, it was the day, this was a special day that he came up. It was a Yom Tov, some Chazal say it was Shavuos, some say it was Rosh Hashanah. And he gave everyone a portion. Ulechana yitein mona achas apoyim, to Chana he gave one portion, apoyim. Apoyim can mean with the face. As he gave her a portion that the recipient would have a savor upon him, yofos, his face would light up with a portion like that. It was from the korban, right? You have many different cuts of meat. You got all the different types, whatever the kohanim didn't take and what didn't go on the mizbeach. The bulk of the animal was for the owner. And he gave her, from the meat, he gave her a special portion. Ki es Chana ohev, because he loved Chana. Vashem saga rachman. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu closed her rechem that she didn't give birth, she didn't have children, but he showed his care for her. Some learn he gave her, he was giving out so many portions to Penina and all of her sons and daughters, he gave Chana a double portion. Just that it shouldn't be like she just gets one like everyone else. He gave her a double portion. And interestingly enough, in general, in Novi and in Tanakh, very often a word is used, they can have opposite, the Mefarshim could say opposite meanings, and sometimes you can see how both of the seemingly opposite meanings fit into the Pasuk and they work together. Some learn Apoyim, the Radak brings from his father. Like Apoyim can mean with anger, like Af. Like, and it's a double anger, it's Apoyim. He was very frustrated that the experience of just seeing, dividing up the carbon and one portion for Penina and her children, her children, her children, and this was the wife that he cared for the most. Ki es Chana ohev, he loved Chana, and there's only one portion. And it was frustrating to him. So he gave her that one portion, Apoyim, with a certain type of internal anger. So there was a lot of emotions going on when they came to this, to Shiloh. B'chiasata tzarosa, and her tzara, the competition, Penina, angered her. Gamkas, with an extra anger and more anger, bavur harima. And don't think it was just a mistake. Sometimes you make a comment and somebody feels bad and you didn't intend it. But here it was intended. Whatever shtuch, whatever emotional wounds she caused were fully deliberate and fully with her full knowledge. Bavur harima, in order to irritate, in order to cause pain to Chana. Ki sogar Hashem ba'ad rachma, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu closed her rechem. Chazal say, Rashi brings down, she did it, Penina did it l'shem shamayim. She had the best intentions. In fact, this is one of the dilemmas, that it's a very difficult thing. Everybody has their individual circumstances. But if somebody, first of all, let me ask you, Elkanah had two wives, and he cared for Chana. Why didn't he put down his foot and tell Penina, you know, I married you, but Chana's number one. We're treating you like an equal, but you should know your place. I care for Chana, and this behavior is just not tolerable. The Mari Kora brings down exactly, in other words, Penina would say to her things like, you know, when the children came home from school, oh, did you give food to your child yet? Did he come to school? When is he going off to school? She asked some questions like that. Oh, did he get clothing for your child? She asked the questions like sometimes if people are sitting together and one person doesn't have children, they're talking about the children, bedafka, to make the single person feel bad. And here it's not in a group, it's just the two of them, like directly, there's no way of even thinking that, you know, the conversations, others are having the conversation. Here it's said directly to her, to cause her pain. And Elkanah didn't put down his foot. He didn't tell her, this is not acceptable. Elkanah had a question. When a person's stuck in a situation in life that's difficult, do you accept it, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it? And that's it. You accept it ba'ava. You make the best of it. Or do you go ahead and Taka say, you know, this is intolerable. I have to daven. I have to get brachas. I have to do mitzvahs. Whatever I got to do, let me get zechus, and this must change. Life can't go on like that. Or some people you find there's a situation where they pour out their life, like we're going to say Chana poured out her life with tefillah. Elkanah himself felt, and we'll see in a moment, he tried to console her. Things are not so bad. I care for you. Say, so she doesn't have children. A person can reach, if a person's in that situation of life where he doesn't have children, he can create and generate zechusim in other manners. So she doesn't have children. Penina felt, if Chana's bitter enough, if it upsets her enough, she might be able to change things. In fact, they point out in the next pasuk, pasuk Zayin, v'chein yasa shana b'shana. This he would do year by year, midei aloysa b'veis Hashem. When they went up to Mishkan Shiloh, kein tachisena. Penina would argue, would anger Chana. But she didn't anger her year round. When they were at home, there was no reason for Penina to make Chana feel bad. But when they went up to the Mishkan Shiloh, this is your chance. You know, the person standing before, he's on Yom Kippur before Ne'ilah. You know, now is the chance. You can daven. You're at the Mishkan. Don't say, oh, life is fine and life, everything's going on and fine. No, but when they came up, Midei Alois V'Yis Hashem came to Chana, that was her opportunity to anger Chana. And it had an effect. Bativ Kataka Chana cried, Vlosochan, she lost her appetite, she couldn't eat. This wasn't a new thing, this was an old problem she had. But yet, the pain was generated in such a way she couldn't eat. Elkanah himself, he gave her mona achas apoyim, he gave her the best portion, an extra portion, and he might have had that anger inside that he felt frustrated that he also didn't have a child from Chana. But as far as Chana goes, he treated her the best manner. And he realized that Penina also meant well. And although he disagreed, it was not his way of doing things, but he didn't stop her. He realized Penina meant well, and perhaps it would have a good effect. Chana would daven, and we'll see, it did have a positive effect. Chazal, by the way, point out, and we'll touch on it again in the next parak, Penina, though, was punished. Her children ended up dying. And it's a very difficult thing. She meant well. Penina meant in mind l'shem shamayim. But when you're dealing with great people, even things that it's hard for us to judge. Was she right? Was she wrong? Obviously, the fact that her children died, it was not the way to do things. Even though she meant well, but the pain and the anguish that she caused Chana was a taina against her. Was held against her. She cried and she wouldn't eat. Chazal point out from there that when a person cries, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, "Hoiseli dimosi lechem yomim v'layla." My tears became my bread of day and night. That when a person is just so upset and he cries, it just seems to fill him up like eating. As people lose their appetite. You need a certain frame of mind to be able to eat. And that was, Chana didn't have that. Vayomer lo Elkanah isha. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Chana, lo masivki. Chana, why are you crying? Veloma lo sochli, and why aren't you eating? Veloma yera levavech, and why do you feel so bad? Halo anochi tov loch me'asor abonim. I'm better for you than 10 sons. What's the stress on the 10 sons? Some say Penina had 10 sons. So he's saying, I care for you more than the 10 sons that Penina gave me. Rav Yonasan Apshit says, a woman's main zechus in Torah is having a husband or having children who learn Torah. Because even though she can learn Torah on her own, and she certainly should seek to get inspiration in Avodas Hashem in whatever way, if she's inspired by going to Shiurim, by learning, by saying Tehillim, she has to find that an inspiration. But in terms of actually learning, whether she learns a little more or a little less, it's an Eino Mitzvah V'Oisa. Now, she's not commanded to learn. She's doing a mitzvah, but it's not her command. The tremendous schar for learning is by a man who's obligated to learn. And therefore, the main schar of a woman in Torah is not what she learns herself. If her husband learns, she gets schar. And if she raises her children, she brings them to the yeshiva, she picks them up, she encourages them in their learning, that's her main schar in Torah. Elkanah said to her, you're right, you weren't yizoychet to have children. But halo anochi tov loch me'asor abonim. I'm better for you than 10 sons. You're hoping to get schar and have an attachment to Torah by having many children. You're helping me develop. Elkanah became was himself one of the was a navi and was one of the great leaders of the people. You're developing an Elkanah, right? The woman's the silent power behind the throne, but You're helping, you have a share in what I'm accomplishing in my avodas Hashem. So, you don't have children. You have your zchus in another manner. Vatokum Chana. Chana got up. Some learn. This went on always, that Penina bothered her and she cried. But at this point, could be she realized, you know, Elkanah was really resigned to the situation. He wasn't planning on doing more. And as I say, we mentioned, because we're going to now deal with Chana. Chana now takes the forefront in this parak. But again, Shmuel was not just his mother. Chana, of course, is the main focus, and the tremendous chus that she had a son, Shmuel, but Elkanah himself. It was Shmuel's yichus. We mentioned all five generations, and Elkanah himself, the fact that he was oile regel and he helped inspire people to come to Shiloh and to get an attachment, a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elkanah had tremendous chusim. But now Chana realized, you know, she's got to go it alone. Now Elkanah said to her, that's it. Anochi tov loch mi'asar rabbanim, resign to the situation as it is, and that's that. V'atokom Chana got up achrei ochlo v'shilu v'achrei shosei, after the eating and drinking. There's a discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara says actually Chana didn't drink. It's not proper for a woman to drink too much. Here they were away from home. But after the eating and drinking, Chana got up. Normally people went to Mishkan Shiloh first. You go and you daven, and then the Kiddush is after. You go home and eat your meal. After the meal is not when people go to, you don't eat first and then go to daven. Normally they went first. But she got up, achrei ochlo v'shilu v'achrei shosei. Things were quiet. Eli wasn't doing the avoida anymore. Ve'eli ha'kohen yoshev al hakisei. Eli the kohen was sitting by his chair, al mezuzas heichal Hashem, by the mezuzah, by the doorway, by the side post, walking into the heichal Hashem. And he would sit there and watch the people coming. He was finished pasha with avoida. Chazal note, yoshev, you have the same thing in the Torah, v'loit yoshev b'shar stoim, and Ephron yoshev b'soch b'nei chais. When the Torah writes it like that, and it doesn't have a vav, it's a mashma, yoshev, that day he first sat by the chair. Today was the day he was appointed the shofet. Some bring down that he was appointed the shofet, some say he was appointed the kohen gadol. I say the Radak says he was the kohen gadol. Rashi says shofet. He became the leader that day. That day. By the way, it's just to point out, but it's such an important outlook in history. But the Beis Halevi points out in Miketz, if people were to ask you, why did Yosef come out of prison? You say, well, Paro had dreams and he interpreted the dreams, so he came out. That's not the reason. The Medrash says, Vayhi Miketz Nasayim Yomim, at the end of 2 years, Miketz, the Medrash says, Ketz Samla Choshech. The word Ketz is to tell you there's an end to the darkness. He's stuck in a dark pit and a jail. At the end of the 2 years, Miketz Nasayim Yomim, at the end of the 2 years, Yosef, it's time for Yosef to come out. Meaning, Yosef had to come out of prison. What was the means in which we got him out? HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused Paro to have a dream, and Yosef interpreted the dream, he came out. But you got to get the cause and effect right. It wasn't that he had a dream and he interpreted it, and that's why he came out. He had to come out, that's why he had the dream. I say, just if somebody would tell you, you know, whatever happens in Eretz Yisrael happened because Sharon had the brain hemorrhage. You should know, whatever happens, and hopefully it'll all work out good for Klal Yisrael, whatever happens didn't happen because he had the hemorrhage and because he's incapacitated as the leader. It works the other way around. Things have to happen for Klal Yisrael. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides history to reach its fulfillment. But back again in the Pasuk, Eli was sitting, it wasn't just to happen to be, and we're going to see Eli gave a bracha and taka the head of Shmuel, but it wasn't just to happen to be that day he became the kohen, he became the shofet. It was, this is the whole idea, that Chana is going to come up with Elkanah, and she's going to experience this, and she's going to go and she's going to put in a tefillah that is highly unusual and tremendously effective. And it's important that Eli should be the kohen gadol, Eli should be the leader at this time, in order for everything to develop as it's supposed to. So Eli's sitting over there al mezuzas Pesach Pesach al mezuzas Heichal Hashem. V'hi moras nofesh. Chana was bitter. V'atispalol al Hashem, she davened to Hashem. Uvocho sivken, she cried. First of all, she wasn't depressed. In Lashon HaKodesh, the word for it is atzvus. A person sometimes when he's depressed, I saw brought down, I think the Tanya discusses it in Perek Lamed Aleph, but atzvus is somehow a person like gets, shuts off. In other words, he's depressed, he can't do anything. He's just like immobilized. Life's concerns or life's, he feels he's got the world on his shoulders and he can't go further. He gives up. Then there's a certain bitterness that propels a person to change things. The status quo is inacceptable. V'hi moras nofesh, she had a bitterness that invigorated her. She's got to change things. This can't remain the way it is. And that's the way she approached her davening. V'tispalol al Hashem. It doesn't say v'tispalol el Hashem. Normally the word would be el Hashem. To daven to Hashem. She davened al Hashem is like mashmah, like on Hashem. Somehow like with a more forceful insistence. And we'll see in a moment what she said. But she spoke in a way that wasn't just like a simple tefillah. It was a tefillah coming from her bitterness, al Hashem, with a certain force to it that's unusual. The Malbim points out there's four different zechusim here. Four reasons her tefillah was accepted. There was a moras nefesh, that bitterness. There was the vatispalal al Hashem, the way she davened, what she said in her tefillah was tremendously effective. She cried, and there's a rule, shari dima lo ninalu, that the gates of tears haven't been locked up, that if somebody cries when... So there's four different zechusim here, four reasons her tefillah was accepted. There was a moras nefesh, that bitterness. There was the vatispalal al Hashem, the way she davened, what she said in her tefillah was tremendously effective. She cried, and there's a rule, shari dima lo ninalu, that the gates of tears haven't been locked up, that if somebody cries when he davens, that's tremendously effective. The gates to heaven are always open for those tears. Vatidor neder, and she backed it up, not just like a person comes in and he davens, and then after davening's over, he closes the siddur and he goes out. But she made a neder, a vow, meaning if this comes true, she's prepared to do something. She's making a vow, and in general, a neder is a very serious thing, and a person should take it. You don't make vows ordinarily. You're better off saying b'li neder, and Erev Rosh Hashanah will do Ataras Nedarim, and we'll have a kol nidre. Vows are a very serious thing. But the truth is, there is a place for vows. As I say, it shouldn't be used normally. But to make a vow, in other words, if you do something for me, I promise I will do this. Nishpati voa kayemo lishmor mishmetzei tzidkecha. A person vows to do a mitzvah, it gives a tremendous force to what he's requesting. So vatidor neder, she made a vow also. Vataymar, and she said, Hashem tzvokois. She's the first one who referred to Hashem not as Aleph Dalet Adoy, as the master, not as Hashem. She referred to him as Tzvokos. You are Kodesh Baruch Hu, guide the whole world with all of its multitude of planets and creatures and everything in the world, and it's all working in harmony and it's all being directed and controlled. You can't give me one child. One child is what I'm asking for. Then after she asked for more, but at least one child. Hashem tzvokos, imro sira. If see, you will see, ba'ani amasecha, the suffering of your maidservant. Uzachartani, and you'll remember me. Blosishkachas amasecha, and you won't forget your maidservant. V'nosatola amoscha zera anoshim, and you'll give your oma, your maidservant, a zera, an offspring of anoshim, of men. What she's saying over here seems to be Imro Sira Bani Amasecha. First of all, when a person goes through Yisurim, that itself is a zchus. a person suffer, that's the reason why he should be answered. As a person, two people who went through life and they did an equal number of Torah and mitzvahs, but one person did the Torah and mitzvahs with an easy life and the other person did Torah and mitzvahs with difficulty. Even if the mitzvahs are the same, the fact that a person suffered and he had a hard life, that's also worth some credit. She said to him, first of all, look at my suffering. Second, Uzachartani, remember me and don't forget. Now, you should know, to be remembered is not always good. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we always stress Zachreinu L'chaim, remember us for life. Because sometimes a person's remembered and it's not good. But Chana had, in her desperation, she just said, Uzachartani, remember my tzidkis. Without saying the words, just remember me. In other things, she's hoping things got to change. So it was Chatani, remember me. And hopefully I'll remember the zechusim she has. And don't forget, Chazal say, Imro Sira, she actually had a startling statement. She said, Imro, if you see what I'm going through, fine. Sira, the other choice is Sira, you will see. In other words, if see, and if not, you will see. Or one way or another, either see my suffering or I'll see to it that you see my suffering. What would she do? Here's Chana's trump card. The rule of a Saita is, if a man suspected his wife of not being faithful, and she's a Saita, so then what he does is, he brings her to the Beis HaMikdash, and she drinks the water, and it's a public humiliation and a degradation, and if she goes through all that, but she's really innocent, and her husband just put her through it wrongly. She's zoicha v'niksa v'nizra zara, she has a child. There's a chazal that says that we're afraid of people doing what Chana did, and therefore she's not guaranteed a child. It means if the children normally are born with difficulty, they'll be born with ease. If the children don't come out looking as nice, they'll be handsomer or more beautiful children. But one pshat in the Gemara is, v'niksa v'nizra zara means if she didn't have children before, but she suffered like a saita, now she will have a child. So, could be what Chana is saying, what Chana said was, Imro, if you see my suffering, good. And if not, Tira, you will see it, because what I will do is, I'll see to it that my husband Elkanah warns me, don't stay with that person, Yichud. And then if there are Edim that witness that this occurs, and I know Avera happened, nothing more than the Yichud, no Avera happened, then you'll have to give me children. Now that's a tefillah. That's a tefillah that's only said with the desperation and all the thoughts and the emotions that Chana had, that she wanted to have a child, and we'll see what she wanted a child for, not just her own personal interests. The question though is, how could she say such a thing? A person's not allowed to say that. A person will go ahead and Yichud is usur. A woman's not allowed to be secluded with a man. Yichud's not allowed. How could she make that threat? So the Pnei Yeshua says in Brachas that what she means is, I could do that. In other words, if I wanted Sira, I could see to it, to become a Satan, you have to give me a child. So let me ask you, if I keep the Torah and I don't do that, I should lose out. Or it's either see my affliction or you'll see it as a Saita. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to do an Avera, but I just want to mention this concept that, you know, I have a way that I could definitely have a child. So the fact that I don't do Yichud, I should lose. But there are other answers, the Netziv answers, and the Chassam Sofer answers, and the Tshuvas, that the truth is Yichud also, there are certain cases where Yichud is mutter. For instance, the Netziv says, if the husband's in the city, so a woman could be secluded with another man, if the husband's in the city, it's a question whether that's Lechat Chila, or it's a Bidyevet, but if the husband's in the city, the Torah doesn't prohibit that Yichud. But if the husband says to her, I don't want you to be alone with that person, then even if the husband's in the city, she's not allowed. That's still called a kinui. That's the warning. Or let's say she's together with a few people, or if there's a Pesach that opens to Rishus HaRabim, there are certain cases that Yichud is allowed. And yet if the woman goes ahead, and if the husband warns her, don't be alone with him, even with all of the Heterim, it's not allowed, and you could have the partial Saita. So the truth is, it is possible that Chana could have stira, be secluded, have to go through the process of a saita without doing any avera. Another point that's actually discussed with a difficulty, though, is that when somebody becomes a Saita, they end up writing some psukim on a parchment and it's erased. So she's causing Hashem's name to be erased. How do you get around that? But the truth is, it's indirect. In other words, by her secluding herself with somebody else and with a kinui and stira, indirectly it's going to lead that she's causing the shame Hashem to be erased. And if it's indirect, that's mashmetz mutter. There's a Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Chof on the days. The Gemara has an interesting shaila. What happens if somebody wrote Hashem's name on his skin and he has to go to the mikvah? What does he do? If he goes into the water, it's going to erase the name. But the Gemara learns that indirect, in other words, he's not allowed to rub it. He can't, rub off the Shem Hashem. But if he's Tovel and Memela, the name comes off. That the Shem Hashem is erased, it's okay. So she said, Imro, Sira Bani Amasecha, if you see my suffering, Uzachartoni, and you remember me, one Chazal says, you remember me to give me a son. Velosishkach, and don't forget that I should have daughters also. Sons and daughters. Whereas Chatani, if you remember me, Velosishkach as Amasecha, and you don't forget your maidservant. And she stressed Amasecha three times in this pasuk to mention the three mitzvahs that a woman has. Lokasaner and Nida and Mitzvah of Chala. If you remember me and remember my Zechusim, V'nosatol HaMoscha Zera Anoshim. And this again is one of the examples of seemingly opposite ways of teaching the same words. The Gemara has one shot of Zera Anoshim. You'll give me a child, Anoshim, who's equal to men. The greatest men of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Aaron b'Choyanov, Ushmuel b'Koyrei Shmoy, that Shmuel Taka reached was like Moshe and Aaron. He was shokel. He was equal to Moshe and Aaron, and that's what she wanted, a Zera Anoshim. She was mispelled for the greatest son, or a Zera, a child that will anoint Anoshim, two different leaders. He's the one who made Shaul into the king, and he's the one who made David HaMelech into the king. And yet there's a third pshat in the Gemara. Zera Anoshim. Give me a child that just mixes in among other people. He doesn't stand out. I don't want a son who's brilliant. I don't want, because then there's an ayin hara. People think, a child prodigy is a wonder, a wunderkind. You don't want that. He shouldn't be too tall. He shouldn't be too short. He should have an average, normal child. It seems to me from that child, from here you see, whatever child a person has, whether he's one of the average or whether he's different than others, it can all fit into the Zera Anoshim. But she wanted to have this special child, Zera Anoshim. If I have that child, I'll give him over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kol Yimei Chayiv, his whole life. No, she didn't want to have a child that she would be able to spend her time with. She wants to have a child that she could give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that somehow she would have, this would be her share in Avodas Hashem by producing such a child. U'moira lo yala al roishoi, and a razor won't go on his head. Pashut, it'll be a nazir. Now, first of all, I mean, all the Levim served HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was their job. The Levi had to come to the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash and do the Avodah. But what she was saying was, I'm going to give him to Hashem Kol Yimei Chayiv, his whole life, more than the average Levi. Not every Levi was there every day. Later on, they had Mishmaros. There was a rotation among the Kohanim and Levim. And in general, they don't come till they're older, 25, 30. But she said, I'm going to give him Lashem Kol Yimei Chayiv. I'm going to give him his whole life. In other words, as soon as he's 2 years old, she sent him off to serve Hashem. Umoyal Yala Rusha, a razor won't go on his head. That's actually a question. That was her desire. Where the Shmuel had to follow his mother's wishes is a source of discussion. It's even the father, when he makes his son a nazir, if the son objects or other relatives objects, the nazirus doesn't necessarily does not take effect. And here, the fact that his mother wanted him to be a nazir, sometimes the parents have these big dreams what the child's going to be like, but it doesn't have to be that way. But that was, she was promising that she's going to do everything within her control. She was going to do she would do everything within her control that Taku Muri lo Yala Roisha, he should become a Nazir. And it was when she just increasedly spalled with Hashem to daven before Hashem. Ve'eli shomer es piyah. Eli was watching her mouth, was guarding her mouth. Eli was watching. She's davening. What's going on? The Targum, by the way, says, Ve'eli oirich lo. He was waiting ad the tifsuk till she would finish. In other words, not that he was watching, he wasn't reading her lips, he wasn't watching her mouth. She's davening, that's her private thing. But Shingras Pia, he was waiting till she finished. No, it's not that he was watching her mouth. He just waited till she's davening. She's wondering what's going on. Rashi says that he was surprised that, we'll see in a minute. Eli Shingras Pia, Eli was watching her mouth. V'chana himidaber salipa. Chana was speaking to her heart. You know, she was speaking with a certain sincerity. Raksvasel knows. Only her lips were moving. V'koyle lo yishamea. No voice, no sound was heard. Silent. V'yachshavea Eli l'shikoyre. Eli thought she was shikha. Now the truth is the Marsha says in Brochus, Pashup Shah was, in other words, people daven. You daven quietly. Just because somebody's davening quietly, you think he's shikar. That's the way he's supposed to daven. Poshab Shah, he says he thinks he's shikar because she seems to be like rambling on and on and on and on. This is a long davening, what's going on? But Eli thought she was shikar. Rashi, though, says, Shloha Yerugilim Lispalo Balachash. They normally didn't daven quietly. And I saw some learn that why didn't they daven quietly? Pshat was normally they had a tefillah, they had a shliach tzibur. One person got up and he would daven out loud, and he was moitzi everybody else. Not every individual got up and said his own private quiet Shmon Esrei. This was Chana's idea to go and to formulate what she was going to say. And tefillah, in general, is not. In other words, the Anshei Knesset Agdola did us a big favor setting up Shmon Esrei, because if a person were to sit and think. What do I say? Who am I to daven to Hashem? What can I mention that will help me find favor, that's a proper way to praise Hashem before and praise Him afterwards, and couch my words in a way that is the proper way that can express all the deep feelings and the nuances and exactly what I want to happen? Whatever you ask for, it sort of depends. A person asks for whatever he desires, but you can't word it in your best way. And Chazal set up the tefillah with a certain seder, and even the number of letters and the number of words and the kavanas that was set up, they included Nevi'im in the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, who set up Shmon Esrei, and it was set up in the way that's the best way to daven. But even so, there is an advantage in personalizing your Shmon Esrei and in davening what you feel, making your personal bakasha. And here Chana did an original thing, according to Rashi. She was davening, her quiet davening, just between her and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only her lips were moving. And by the way, that's something, it's brought down halacha, but people have to, it's not easy, some people, you get used to, you look in the sitter and your eyes sort of scan the page or whatever. That's no good. You gotta move your lips and form the words, you gotta say the words. It's difficult, because a person's used to, I say, speed reading and your eyes are scanning. That's not good. You got to move your lips. But the voice, v'kol lo yishmeh, her voice wasn't heard. So Eli thought she was shikar. Others say that people could be daven quietly, but some words, ones are like when we daven psukah de zimra, it's basically quiet, but certain phrases, a person, the derech is, he says out loud certain parts. He was like, the whole thing was quiet. Whatever the case was, Eli thought she was shikar. By Yomrei Leo Eli, Eli said to her, "Admosai tishta korin. How long are you going to continue in this state of shikras? Hasirias yenich, remove your wine me'aloyich from you. Even if you finished your davening, unless you finished your davening already, but you're standing in the mishkan. If you're not sober, go home. Come back later. You shouldn't be shikker, and even if you're just a little bit high, but a serious yenech, remove your wine, you have to come in with a clear mind. We learn out from here, Chazal say that if you see another person doing wrong, even if he's not being over, and Taisus and Brocha says, even if he's not being over d'oraisa, where there's no mitzvah v'cheach t'cheach hazam yisach, you don't have to give him t'chocha. But in general, if you see somebody's conduct is wrong, you're supposed to be mochiach them. You're supposed to correct them. As Eli, you know, why do you have to say anything? You know, as the woman, she's an individual. Nobody's going to learn from her example. We actually, since it's written in the Nevi'im, we actually learn out many, many lessons from her tefillah. But what should she standing by herself? Why does he have to get involved? But no, if you see that somebody's doing wrong, you got to correct them. But Vatan Chana Vatoimer, Chana answered, she said, Lo Yadoni, no, my master. If somebody suspects you're doing wrong, you can shrug your shoulders and say, let him think whatever he thinks. I know I'm doing right. But that's also incorrect. If somebody's choshed you, if somebody thinks you're doing wrong, you should set the record straight. It does matter what people think. Oh, you shouldn't say, well, I don't care what they think of me. No. Or Chana set the record straight. Lo yadoni. No, my master. Ishak shas ruach anoichi. I'm a woman with a difficult spirit. In other words, I'm in a difficult situation. Biyain v'sheikh lo shasisi. I didn't drink wine. I did not sheikh, not strong wine. V'eshbuchas nafshi lifnei Hashem. I poured out my soul. I poured myself out lifnei Hashem. And Chazal learned out that she said, Lo, Adoni, you're not my master. No, she's saying, you know, he's the Kohen Gadol, he's the leader of Klal Yisrael. But in this, he made a mistake. In this, he's not her master in this regard. He doesn't know more than her. Actually, he's wrong. It's a polite way of saying she's wrong. She's not drunk at all. It's Altitin as Amoschol ifnei Bas Belial. Don't regard your maidservant as a wicked person. Some Chazal learned, don't place your Amoschol ifnei Bas Belial in front of Penina, my competition. She's the way. In other words, but don't prove me wrong in front of Penina, who's been saying that I'm no good and that's why I don't have children. And don't put me before her saying that I'm wrong. But kimirov sichi, because just from my great talk, vikasi, my anger, dibarti ad hein, I've spoken till now. It's because of the turmoil that I have that I'm davening like this. Vayan Eli vayomer. Eli responded and he said, l'chi l'sholoim, go to peace. Ve'elokei Yisrael yitein es sheilosech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give your request, asher sho'alt me'imoy, what you asked from him. And sheilosech is written without an aleph. It could be related to the word shilya, meaning a child. It's referring to the birth. Hashem should give you your desire, what you ask. Now, Poshet, he didn't know what she asked for. As he just said, HaKadosh Baruch should grant your wish. But Taimran, she said, Timsa shivchoscha chen beinecha, your shivcha, your maidservant should find favor in your eyes. Now he, Poshet, said to her as a blessing, a bracha, HaKadosh Baruch should give you a request. She took it like the statement of a tzaddik, and she accepted it. That's it. It's a promise. I should find favor. It's done. She went on her way and she ate, and she no longer had that morbid look on her face. She never didn't have the same face anymore. They got up in the morning, because when you come to the Mishkan, you got to stay overnight. The pasuk says you turn in the morning and you go back home. So they got up in the morning, vayishtachu lifnei Hashem, and they bowed before Hashem, vayashuvu, and they returned, vayivoel beisim haramosa, and they came back to the house, to Roma, vayyeda Elkanah eschana ishtoi, Elkanah knew his wife, vayizkareo Hashem, and Hashem remembered her, and she's now going to have her child. Vayhili skufas hayomim, after the seasons, in days, meaning the baby was born in the seventh month, meaning in those days, you can have a full-term baby, a nine-month baby, and it was also a seven-month baby. And the seven-month baby was actually born 6 months and 2 days. But it was a full-term, not like a premature baby. But Hilei Skufos Hayomim, after two seasons and days, Vatar Chana Vatele Bain, she was pregnant, she gave birth, Vatiko Shmo Shmuel, and she called his name Shmuel, Ki Mi Hashem She'iltiv, because I requested him from Hashem. So shouldn't you call his name Shaul? He's asked. She asked him. She calls his name Shaul. The Barbanel has a number of pshatim. One of them is the word Shmuel can mean Shemei Kael. Shemu Shemei Kael. Or Somoi Kael. Hashem placed this baby in her. But the word Shmuel is because she asked him from Hashem. Vayala Yishal Kana V'chol Beisoi. And now Elkanah came up with his whole family. Lizboyach Hashem Azevach Hayomim. To shech before HaKadosh Baruch Hu the korban of the days, Bes Nidroi, and any other vows he had made during the year, he would bring a korban. He comes up to Mishkan Shiloi, and he settles the account. V'chana lo alosa, v'chana didn't come up. That's a chiddush. Normally when a person brings a korban, they should be there. And if she's bringing a korban because she had a child, she should be there. But v'chana lo alosa, she didn't go up. Ki omra li'isha, she said to her husband, Ad yigomel hanar, I want to wait till the child weans, he stops nursing. V'havi yosef, and then I'll bring him. V'niros p'nei Hashem, and we will be seen before Hashem. V'yoshav shom ad oylam, and then he'll remain in Mishkan Shiloi forever. V'yomer lo Elkanah Isha. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Asi hatoyv beinayich. Abarbano mentioned she made three startling statements and her husband responded to each one. First of all, she said she's not going up to bring the korban. Actually, that's the next expression. Shvi ad gom lechoisei. Stay home till you finish nursing. That was her decision. She wants to stay home till she finishes nursing. Okay. And asi hatoyv beinayich, but the first thing he mentioned is the big chiddush. She decides she's going to give her child to Hashem. What about him? You know, it's his child also. You know, the wife goes ahead and she commits herself to whatever. The husband might not agree. He says, okay, listen, that's your decision. I'm with you. If that's what you want, it doesn't mean it's necessarily his decision. What's good in your eyes, you can do. As I'm asking. The second thing is you plan on not going up to Mishkan Shila with the whole family staying. Okay, Shviyad Gom Lechosa, you can stay till you finish nursing. The third thing was, Shmuel is supposed to be a Nazir and he's going to remain in the Mishkan Shiloh Ad Olam. That's another example. The parents have their big dreams of what their child's going to do. Ach Yokeim Hashem Estavare, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should fulfill his word. That, you know, we can try, we can hope, we can be Mispala, we can make an effort, but whatever happens to Shmuel, that's going to be Shmuel's decision. Is going to be, he's going to have to want it. So either Yokim Hashem is Tavaro, is Hashem should keep his word. See, the question is, what was Hashem's word? All she asked for, she wanted a child, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to her. In other words, what she's going to do, that Hashem never promised that he would. Hashem never gave her... Yitain Hashem es sheilosech Hashem sho'alt me'imo, Hashem should give your wish. But Hashem never said that he would remain in Mishkan Shiloh. So Abarbanel learns also, Yokim Hashem is Devoroi. First of all, Rashi does bring down that there was a bas kol that used to come out saying that there's going to be a tzaddik born with the name of Shmuel. And everyone who had a baby would call the child Shmuel. And then when they saw the way he acted, they said, this is not Shmuel. But she said, no, but Elkanah said, no, Hashem should fulfill his word that there's going to be a child Shmuel. It should come true and this should be the one. Or you can learn, Yokim Hashem is Devoroi. Hashem should establish Shmuel's word. In other words, the plans, the words of Shmuel, the matter of Shmuel, the devar of Shmuel should be fulfilled, that Shmuel should reach his potential. So the woman remained and she nursed her child ad gom laosa till he stopped nursing. She brought him up with him, with her when she stopped nursing, before him shloisha with three porim. Ve'efa achas kemach, in a measure of flour, ve'nevel yayin, a flask of wine, v'atviyehu beis Hashem Shiloi, she brought him to the beis Hashem Shiloi, v'hanar noar, and the child was young. It's a lot of meat, but not so much wine and not so much flour. But some learn it was brought for karbonos. Could be some of it was shlomim to be eaten, but it was the karbonos also. she brought over as korbanos. Vayishchatu asapar, they shechted the par. Vayaviu asanar Eli, and they brought the nar to Eli. What's the connection? So Chazal say he was moira halacha bifnei rabbi. They shechted the par. They were a kohen was getting ready to shecht. They were looking for a kohen actually to shecht. So Shmuel said, "What do you need a kohen for? Anybody can shecht." Now that's an example of being right and being dead wrong. He was right that you don't need a kohen to shecht. In fact, I think the Netziv says, Eli of course knew that you don't need a kohen to shecht. Just the kohanim used as part of a ma'ilah. In the Beis HaMikdash, like kohanim should do everything. Not that they had to have a kohen, but they were looking for a kohen because they always tried to find a kohen. It wasn't like Eli didn't know the halacha. But they shechted the par and they were looking for a kohen. And Shmuel paskin correctly, you don't need a kohen. But when you're dealing when Eli a kohen is there, you don't paskin. Right or wrong, you don't paskin. Vatoimer. So she said, "Be adoni, please, my master. Chenavshcha adoni, by your life. Aniho isha nitzevesimcha bazeh. I'm the woman who is standing with you, bazeh, in this place. Lispalo Hashem to daven to Hashem. El anar azeh ispalolti. I daven for this child." He was chayev misa, and Eli said, "I'll daven. You'll get another child." She said, "No, this is the one." El anar azeh ispalolti. Hashem gave my request that I asked from him. And I have given him over to Hashem. All the days that he was, he's lent out to Hashem. I'm not giving him over that he can not live. It's like a loan. I want him to remain my child, or I like him to remain alive. But I'm like lending him to Hashem. Vayishtachu shom Hashem, and she bowed there to Hashem. There's a medrash Shmuel that says, "Kol hayomim asher hoya." As long as Shmuel was alive, who shohu Hashem? Shohu the king remained alive. The Gemara has a discussion that he was supposed to be nifter, but how could Shmuel shouldn't see what he produced in his life, shouldn't outlive him? So as long as Shmuel was alive, Shaul was alive. Kol yom asher hoya hu Shaul Hashem. And with this, I guess we'll close. There's a lot more to say, and we just sort of gleaned a few gems and a few diamonds from the words of the Pesukim. There's a lot more, of course, to say. But in Yitz Hashem next week, we'll start with Perek Beis. This tape is sponsored Le'ilui Nishmas, my wife's father, Harav Henochayim Ben Moshe Eliezer Sendik. He was somebody who was constantly growing and reaching higher and higher madrigas in Avodas Hashem. He was nifter at a young age, but he reached a shlemus in Torah, Avoda, Gemilas Chasodim, and he leaves over a legacy, children, and the memories of what it means to be an Oved Hashem. Yehi Zichro Baruch. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.